to talk to you today specifically about forgiveness. This has been on my spirit for quite some time. I see so many people that claim to be Christians and claim to be saved. And they are saved in the sense that they accepted the Lord as their Savior. They are saved in the sense that they know Jesus died on the cross for them. Some people say, well, I've been baptized in water. The baptism of water simply is a sign, a symbol. It doesn't matter how much water you jump in or get dunked in. What matters is what's in here. That's what God's looking at. That's what God notices. God is a spirit. He knows our spirits. He's not a mind. He's not a body. He's a spirit. So he talks to our spirit and he knows our spirits. We can walk around and say praise God and hallelujah all day long, every day. And if our spirit ain't right, he knows it. We can't fool God. Praise God. I'm glad we can't fool God. I know some of these people, maybe some of the people sitting here, think they're really going to receive all the promises of God. Think they're going to go to heaven when they die. But I'm here to tell you, you cannot go to heaven with unforgiveness. The Bible says that if we forgive others, well, Jesus actually said, if we forgive others, that his Father will forgive us. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. We'll get to that in a minute. If God doesn't forgive us, then we're not going to sit in heaven with God. That's something that people don't really understand. I talk to people and I say, well, are you? They say, well, I hate so-and-so, and I've hated people in my past, and I know probably everybody out here has. If you really are honest with yourself, so you got to be honest. You got to sit down and look in the mirror and say, what problems do I have with other people? We are to live in forgiveness. I know that most people that are saved, they believe they will not go to hell and that they will go to heaven. But it's more than just being saved. It's more than just receiving salvation. There are some rules to live by. You can't just receive your salvation and then go out and do anything you want to do. And you can't live with hatred. Hatred is not from God. Hatred is of the devil. Hatred didn't come from God. And we are to try to walk like God wants us to walk. The Bible says you will not be forgiven if you do not forgive others. And if you're not forgiven, what does that mean? Well, you can't go to heaven if you haven't been forgiven. This is a serious deal. Just about everyone I encounter will admit it. They will admit hating someone if they're totally honest. We've all been wrong before. I have. I know I can just about name who's wronged everybody in this room, probably. I've talked to people that claim to be spirit-filled, Bible-believing Christians, and then they tell me I hate so-and-so. Oh, I can't stand that joker. They're not trying to help them. They're just trying to talk about them. When I ask them why they hate him, oh, they say, oh, he stole some money from me, or he tried to mess with my marriage, or he did this, or he did that. They got some reason that they hate him. If you hate someone, you haven't forgiven them. You can't hate them and forgive them at the same time. It's not possible. If anybody disagrees, raise your hand. I didn't think so. So, anyway. I've been there. I can honestly tell you I have no hatred in my soul whatsoever for anyone. I have no ill will toward anyone. And that really came from me by knowing that I had to do it. And knowing that I didn't have to do it alone. And not hating someone or having ill will toward someone includes yourself. You can't have ill will toward yourself. If you can't even forgive yourself, you certainly can't forgive anyone else, can you? Most often when you hate someone, it doesn't affect them at all. So the one reason we think we hate them, or we think it's best to hate them, is I'm not going to give them the satisfaction of me liking them or forgiving them. Like we're hurting them somehow. We're not hurting them. They could care less whether we hate them or not, 99% of the time. Joe always says, what angers you, controls you. There's a lot of truth to that. I tell Ryan all the time he's controlled by our kids, the younger kids. And I am too sometimes, to be honest with you. God orders us to forgive for our own sakes. I really thought to myself one time, God wants me to forgive this person so he won't have me hating him. God isn't demanding this for our own... God isn't demanding this for anyone else. He's demanding it really to help us. The burden that lifts off your shoulders when you forgive someone is immeasurable. Hatred will, without exception, eat you alive. It will control you. It will keep you from the promises of God. It'll keep you from going to church. It'll keep you from being a good example for other people. A lot of people badmouth Christians because there are a lot of Christians living wrong. And they're setting a bad example. And that's the ones people see. When you work somewhere with 10 people, and out of that 10 people, there's one that's really mean, you don't even think about the other 9 that are really sweet. You think about that one that's really mean. That's the one that really aggravates you all day long. And that's what people see when they see Christians. They see people that are not living up to God's word. They see people that aren't, they're saying one thing and doing another. And that's what sometimes keeps them out of church and keeps them from doing right themselves. It's not a good excuse, but it is one nevertheless. And it does affect a lot of the public. When you hate someone, Satan himself is controlling you. When you forgive the people that have wronged you, you get rid of a heavy burden on your shoulders, if I can talk. It's so nice. People hold grudges forever, either for something done to them or their son or daughter or other person in their life. People even hold grudges over total misunderstandings that could have been solved if they would have just talked about it. I'm guilty of that myself. You must forgive. You have no choice. No choice whatsoever. If you want to receive all that God has to offer, you must forgive. You must forgive. I can't say that enough. You have no choice. You must forgive. If you want to receive what God has for you, you must forgive. No matter what anyone has done to you. Let's look at a few Bible verses so you think I'm not up here just preaching for myself. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. It says there, verse 14, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Verse 15, "But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Let me tell you something. That says a lot right there. I don't know if I could be more plain than that. But no one ever talks about forgiveness, I've noticed. Now I listen to a lot of preachers. Danny and Nancy know I listen to a lot of Rhema preachers even. And I think the world of them. I think they're doing God's work. And I rarely ever come across anybody saying anything about forgiveness. It's just one of those things that just has been swept under the rug somewhere. And a lot of people don't even know it. They think it's just something that is suggested for them to do, but they can be all right if they don't. Those verses I just read, we'll read them one more time. "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You will be unforgiven. And if you are unforgiven, then you have totally wasted all that Jesus died for you." Do you hear what I'm saying? The only reason we're forgiven is because Jesus died on the cross for us. But we can mess that up. And people mess it up all the time. Those verses, those lines, those words were part of the greatest sermon ever preached, I believe. The Sermon on the Mount. Jesus Christ himself said those words. I don't know how I can get more direct than that, than coming from the Son of God. Both verses are the words of Jesus. I'd say pretty much that's proof positive we need to forgive. Wouldn't you? Can I get an amen? Amen. Is there a limit to how much I should forgive someone? Because some people think there is. Let's look at Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Matthew 18, 21. There Peter asked Jesus, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? And Jesus answers him in verse 22 by saying, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. For those of you that struggle in math, like I have at times, that's 490 times a day. I don't think you can wake up early enough in the morning and do enough to me to do me wrong 490 times a day. I don't think you have enough time. I don't think there's enough time in a day. You have 24 hours, and I should have sat down and figured out how many times you'd have to do something to me, or how many, what the interval was, but I didn't. It'd be hard to do me wrong 490 times a day. Really hard. I don't think you can do it, frankly. But Jesus said we're to forgive 7 times 70. So, anytime anybody does you wrong, you are to forgive them. That is a commandment of God. It is to be done. It would be virtually impossible for them to wrong you that many times in one day. So Jesus is saying in an exaggerated way that there is no limit to how much you are to forgive someone. How many people here know that Jesus sometimes said things in kind of an exaggerated way? He told what they call, he used parables. He wasn't always talking about some story of history. He would give you ideas and examples and stories to explain his situation. Did he really mean specifically 490 times a day? I don't think so. I think he meant there is no limit to how much you forgive someone. 490 times a day. So somebody out there will try to wrong you 490 times a day. If I were to say to them, you can't wrong me that many times a day, there are some people out there that would try it. Just to prove they could do it, right? Amen?
Yeah.
There are people that will do it. Some people are going to try anything once at least, right? But he was just using that example to say, there is no limit. God forgives us no matter how many times we mess up.
That's right.
I've messed up countless number of times. I'm sure more than 490 in my almost 34 years I've messed up. And never that much in a day. But God has forgiven me. And he can forgive you. So yeah, he tells us some stories sometimes. And he exaggerates them really so to get his point across. Jesus had a sense of humor. Have you ever noticed that? He had a little sense of humor. And that's how you get through to people sometimes. Let's look at Mark 11, verses 25 and 26. And Jesus says, and when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. I don't know about y'all, but I want to be forgiven. I want everything God has to offer me. And for those people that think there aren't any, we preach so much that if you believe in God, you believe Jesus died on the cross for you, and you believe it in your heart, confess it with your mouth, that you will receive salvation. You will be saved. And then we stop. Well, praise God, you've been saved. Okay, the rest is done. Have a nice day. I've seen it done that way many times. There is a walk you have to walk. There is a way you have to live. It's not just, hey, I believe Jesus died for me. I'm saved. Hallelujah. See y'all later. I mean, if I run into you at Walmart, fine. Wherever. There's more to it than that. we have to walk the way we're supposed to walk. Now, we're all going to mess up. We're all going to mess up. I probably mess up every day in some way. And we can ask forgiveness for that, and it will be given to us. But you can't accept God as your Savior and go out and live any way you want to live and expect to stay saved. Well, you will be saved, but you will not receive the glories of heaven. We do have to answer for what we do. And we can either answer it to ourselves and handle it and correct it and repent for it, or one day we will have to be judged. And I want to handle it before I get to that point, frankly. I don't want to suffer what I deserve. What do we all deserve? Hell. That's what we all deserve. We've all done wrong. None of us can live up, really, to what God wants. That's why he sent his son here. So we could receive the glories of heaven. Unforgiveness can keep you from being healed. It can keep you from receiving the gifts of God. I want what God has for me. I want everything. I know my family can testify, certainly, when they were with me on in Greensboro at church. I stood up and I went down there because I wanted everything God had for me. I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost and speak in other tongues. I do want everything God has for me. I don't want half of it. I want all of it. And I'm going to get all of it. I'm not going to refuse it. I'm going to stand tall and demand that I have everything God has for me. I want it all. And I want you to also. Why get half of it? If I can give you $20, why just take one? Take it all. God has it there for you. It's there for you to take. Get it. We have to do what God says. Accepting that God commands me to forgive is what enabled me to forgive. My human self didn't want to forgive. And my human self still doesn't want to forgive, frankly. I know people that take pride in not forgiving people. And I was one of those people at one time. Man, I'll never forgive that joke. He done me wrong. And I still have that inside of me somewhere. But God inside me is stronger than that and stronger than anything else. It is a wonderful thought to me to think that I don't have to do anything alone. God is in me. The Holy Ghost is in me. I'm not doing anything by myself. Kevin doesn't have to do anything on his own. Nothing. God is with me, and he is with you. In Luke chapter 17, verse 3 and 4, we read Luke 17, 3 and 4. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And in Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, which contains Paul's doctrine concerning the Church of Christ, we read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Ephesians 4, 32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. We're supposed to do what God does. We're supposed to walk and do what God does and what God would want us to do. That's what's required of us. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, we read, Colossians 3, 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. You are to forgive just like Christ forgave you. Let's look at the Old Testament. I want to give you some background to verify what I'm saying, so you know I'm not just crazy. I am partially crazy. I won't deny that. In the Old Testament, Leviticus, chapter 19, verse 18. Leviticus 19, 18. Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. that a lot, don't we? Love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. So he says, I am the Lord. And he is telling us, please read that one more time. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. For I am the Lord. God's willingness to forgive us is dependent on our willingness to forgive others. It is. He's willing to forgive us over and over and over again. And we don't deserve it. That's the truth of the matter. We don't deserve it. God's not giving us what we deserve. And we don't want what we deserve from God. It would be bad. Does anybody agree with that? It would be bad what we deserve from God. We want what God has promised us. We must forgive and walk in love. So I encourage you to examine your hearts, and if you have any ill will towards anyone, get rid of it. It ain't worth it. It ain't worth going to hell for. Get rid of it and receive all the glories and all the gifts that you have. And may I say, my wife makes me cry when she sings. That gift she has is from God. And you can't receive those gifts if you're not walking in line with what the Word of God tells you to do. For anyone you have ill will towards, pray for them. This was suggested to me. So pray for people that I have ill will towards. If I start to feel any anger rise up in me, it's hard to be mad at somebody you're praying for. It's virtually impossible to be mad at someone that you're praying for and praying for good things for. You can't do it. If you pray, and you honestly pray for that person, you cannot have any ill will toward them. You can't do it. Pray for them to find God and to be great soldiers for God. Praying for them can help you to forgive them. And let me say this. Praise God every second of every day. I can't say that enough. I want you to leave here with that in your mind. Praise God every second of every day. Read the Bible. It is there for us so we can learn. And we can. It's our instruction book. It's our instruction manual. People get a brand new car. Some people said read the whole manual. Some people don't even look at it. But how can you know how to work it if you don't read the manual, right? And you'll find out that if you try to live the way God wants you to live without the manual, you'll find you're messing up every time. You got to read God's Word and stay in God's Word and surround your life with it. You got to listen to the music. You got to listen to people preaching. Just make sure you listen to the right ones. Not everybody's preaching, the Bible is preaching about God. I warn you of that. Surround yourself with God every day. If you praise God every second of every day, it's hard to go wrong. You stay in the Bible, you read the Bible, and understand what it means, you'll become closer to God every day. And that's what I want for everybody. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for allowing us to be here today and to share your holy word and for allowing people to be blessed by your presence and your knowledge. May everyone go forth here today in safety and assurance that you are inside them and you will be with them forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, one last thing, if anybody's unsure where they stand with God or has never been saved and received the promises of God, I encourage you to raise your hand or come up here. Don't be shy. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks of you but God. That's the truth. God, if you're living right for God, what difference does it make what other people think? Somebody will look at you like you're crazy. When I stood up and walked down, I wanted to be filled with the Holy Ghost and speak in other tongues, and I believe I was the first one to stand. And I was a little scared. I was scared. But I stood up anyway, because I felt in my spirit that God wanted me to go down there, and that was what I was supposed to do, and I was going to do it. The old saying goes, through hell or high water, that's what I was going to do, and I don't believe anybody could have held me back from going down there. And I know from experience that a lot of people don't come to the altar. They don't come and ask somebody to pray for them because they are scared. Not scared of God. They're not scared of what's going to happen. They're more scared of what everybody else thinks about them. Well, let me tell you, the approval from other people will not get you to heaven. Approval from other people will not get your sins forgiven. Approval from God is what gets your sins forgiven. And that's who we need to worry about and concern ourselves with. So I'm going to leave you with that. I don't know where, I guess Nancy's with the kids.
You can just close if you don't mind.
Why don't you come up here and close? I'm closed. Pastor Danny's going to come up here and say a few words and usher us to somewhere, right? Thank you, thank you.
Well, that was really good. We appreciate Kevin doing that for us. Let's pray in the service. Lord, thank you for this message this morning. Help us to apply it to our life and learn to forgive others and live for you in Jesus' name. Amen.